Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 215.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 215. My name is Brendan Lowe. I am the creator and founder of Jazz Piano School, and thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. So I'm kind of excited. I'm getting ready to go to Yellowstone, to drive to Yellowstone, just take a mini vacation. I've been working endlessly, like just absolutely endlessly, like 10, 11, 12 hours a day, getting this the whole new site out, which I've been talking about. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But I'm way overdue. So this is going to be nice. Getting away, getting out of California a little bit. There's a lot of bad fires going on here, so I'm excited to get some fresh air and just be in nature for a little while. Just kind of, you know, take a breather, right? Take a breather for a second. But I love what I do, honestly. I love creating jazz education for all of you, for everyone listening. So clearly it shows. I mean, I'm super passionate. I never wake up and I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, obviously you have bad days, everyone has bad days, but I really look forward to creating the podcast, creating free content, creating our paid membership content, you know, inside the members area, making it better, improving it. I mean, it brings me joy to make you happy. You know, it's the stuff that I never got when I was younger, you know, and I've been talking to so many members recently because we just opened up, right? And I was just having a conversation with someone, and so, sorry, I had an itch, but we were talking about just the amount, you know, like we were talking about jazz piano school in general, first of all, and he was just so impressed, and not trying to toot my own horn here, but this is what he was saying, you know, just so impressed about all the resources, the organization, the curriculum, how I teach, the structure, the system, and that's what I'm all about. That's exactly what I want to give students, right? And he was just like, wow, if I had this back in my day, and I was like, the same. I feel exactly the same. If I had this back in my day, you know, so it's just absolutely amazing that I can deliver this. And my whole mission, my whole goal is to give you guys this because I never had it. I legitimately never had this type of organization and structure. And it's a gift for me to be able to bring that to you. Anyway, so I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling very motivated, inspired right now to keep JPS going forward, take a little mini vape break from all the work that myself and my team have done, and just get away for a little bit and just kind of feel the open air, right? So 215, Sterling has an amazing episode, two-part episode coming at you right now on block chords. Now, again, block chords are a funny thing. Excuse me. Block chords are a funny thing. I lost my voice like mid-sentence. That was weird. Block chords are a funny thing. There we go. So essentially, you know, block chords, there are cookie cutter ways to play block chords. But the more you dive into it, you're going to find that people have variations, right? Specific notes, specific slides, details, nuances, right? Errol Garner plays his block chords differently than Oscar Peterson. Plays his block chords differently than George Shearing. Now, again, is there a foundation? Is there a basis? Yes, and Sterling's going to teach you that. But then as you move forward into part two, you're going to get into more details and more advanced nuances that start to separate people and how they play, how they move, right? Barry Harris has a way. So there's all these different ways, and so Sterling's going to do a nice and amazing job walking you through a lot of the material, a lot of the language on block chords in this two-part episode. So this is going to be part one. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to bring you part two. All right? So I hope you enjoy this. And with that being said, let's dive right in. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Sterling Koza here for jazzpianoschool.com. In today's podcast, we're going to be covering block chords. I often get asked, you know, how do I get started playing block chords? It's such an iconic sound on the piano. Dating back to the 40s and 50s, pianists like George Shearing and Nat King Cole made these popular. And it was also adopted by famous pianists like Oscar Peterson, who famously used it in his trio, especially in a lot of arrangements, as well as improvising. These great pianists could improvise with these block chord voicings. and the possibilities were really endless. So we're going to get into how to approach playing these chords for ourselves today. And we're going to start with a very basic harmonization, and this comes out of the big band sound. So when I think about these chords, I think about the piano as an instrument emulating the sound of a big band, perhaps a saxophone section. So if we imagined a saxophone section, usually those have about five voices, and we can play five voices on the keyboard. And here's sort of a major six sound that we could hear a saxophone section playing. So this is a pretty typical voicing that you might hear. So what we want to do first is get used to this shape. So what we're going to do is take it through an octave of C major scale. So we're looking at a C major six shape. We've got a couple thirds stacked with a second in between and a third on top. So again, this is just C major. We're using all the white notes here, translating this simple shape, five-note shape, through a scale as if it were a horn section. And we can even improvise with this a little bit. We could even play a melody. If we were in the key of G, let's see. That tune is Paper Moon. It's only a Paper Moon. Key of C there. So that's our first strategy, is going to be playing this major six chord shape and taking it through the key. Now, the next thing we're going to do is slightly more advanced, and it would be adding some different chord shapes. So we had C major six first to harmonize this lovely C chord. And what we can start to add are some different chords within the key of C. So in the key of C, we've got C major. If we went up the scale, we have D minor and E minor. So those are the next two chords we're going to add. First, we had C. Six, again, a five-note voicing. We're going to add another five-note voicing, this time D minor, but we're going to add the seventh. So D minor seven. And you can practice these voicings by using inversions. Take the bottom note, put it on the top. So again, this is all white notes. We're all in the key of C, diatonic chords here. D minor seven. And some people might notice this is very similar to F major 6. If we had an F on the bottom, those chords would be synonymous, right? We've got F major 6 and D minor 7. Same notes, just a different name. And the next chord we'll add is E minor 7. And all of its inversions. And again, we could call this one G6 if we wanted to. Same notes, different name. So now, so far, we've got C major 6, D minor 7, and E minor 7. And we're going to use these chords in combination to harmonize this scale. Instead of before, we just had the same shape. We're going to harmonize this scale with those three chords. Here we go. C major 6, D minor 7, E minor 7, D minor 7, E minor 7, D minor 7, E minor 7, C6. So see how those chords alternate to make up the scale. You might notice that it starts to sound a little more organized. Here's number one, our first version. It sounds pretty good, but here's what happens when we add the chords. So things start to get a lot more organized, and we can use those chords to our advantage to harmonize melodies. Now, I figured we'd take a look at a melody for the tune Polka Dots and Moonbeams. Now, this tune is usually in the key of F, but for our purposes, we're going to try it out in the key of C today. So it starts on a G. Let's take it up an octave, actually. So what would that sound like if we just used our first version, the major six shape? And the second part of the melody. So it's all sounding pretty okay. A little bland though. Let's try adding some of those chords. A little better. All right, so now we're starting to get into some of that Nat King Cole, George Shearing sound with these chords. Now, the third strategy I'm going to show you in this video is a harmonization that will really bring these voicings to life, and that is diminished passing chords. Now, diminished passing chords is a technique used by arrangers throughout the big band era, anyone from Neil Hefti to, Thad Jones, anyone from, Count Basie or Ellington's band that did arranging, you'll hear these techniques all over the place. So diminished passing chords are any diminished seventh chord put in between two voicings. So if we had a couple inversions, we can just harmonize by putting diminished passing chords in between. So if I had C major sixth, I would play D diminished seven. So this is a technique used to harmonize the major scale and add some color in between some of these chords. We can do the same thing between D minor 7 inversions. This time we use E diminished 7. So there's a lot of passing chord options in there that can help bring our melodies to life. Now what we're going to do is try this melody, Polka Dots and Moonbeams, again, except this time we're going to add some diminished passing chords. And just as a reminder, all of this information will be included in the PDF practice materials. So if you're feeling a little lost, never fear. There's a free download in the link in the description, and it will have all of these chords detailed for you to follow along with. So here's Polka Dots and Moonbeams. And we're going to throw in some diminished passing chords. Check it out. Okay, those diminished passing chords really make a nice sound. So I hope you enjoyed this first part of a block chords tutorial, and I hope you'll tune in with me for the next one.